The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
While it was evening on the day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have come and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Doubt is not the opposite of faith. It is one element of faith. Good doubt is questioning that springs from a positive spirit with a profound hope for what has been stated to be true. Paul Tillich had this to say about doubt. Doubt is not the opposite of faith, as we said. It is an element of faith. In fact, it is also worthwhile to look at people who were famous doubters and to know that doubt is an engine of creativity. Confucius, Socrates, St. Augustine, Galileo, Martin Luther, and Frederick Douglass all challenged conventional wisdom, and they are just a few names that could be mentioned. There are so many ways to vindicate Thomas, and some of the most intense research has been done by biblical scholars poring over the funny papers. Here's an example. Hagar, the horrible, is kneeling in prayer. He's asking out loud what many want to know, and it is this. "It's not easy to believe in you, God. We never see you. How come you never show yourself? How do we know you exist? Next we see a flower springing to life beside him, a volcano erupting in the distance, an eclipse of the sun turning the sky black, a star shooting across the stratosphere, a tidal wave rushing over Hagar, lightning flashing, a bush beginning to burn, and a stone rolling away from the entrance to a tomb. Hagar pulls himself up from the mud, dripping wet, surrounded by darkness, and says, Okay, I give up. Every time I bring up this subject, all we get is interruptions. Is this the kind of question Thomas was asking the other disciples? Was he trying to say, it's just not easy to believe that Jesus is alive? Remember, Thomas was not present when the risen Lord appeared to the other disciples on the evening of Easter day. He refused to believe that Christ had risen until he had seen for himself. It is not that Thomas doesn't want to believe them. He wants proof. He believes in forensics. He holds himself high to a really high standard, and he refuses to believe or be part of anything that sounds like a rumor. He wants to be accountable to himself. It should make clear sense to us that Thomas says, unless I see the nail holes and put my hands into his gaping wounds, I will not believe. We all need to back up and think about Easter. Easter absorbs joy and triumph, as well as fear and disbelief. It is all this. The writer David Henson says that this is what makes the Paschal event such a profound mystery, and what makes Thomas's response to news of the resurrection so authentic and so holy in this week's gospel text. The branding of Thomas as a doubter should arouse questions in each of us. He wasn't the only disciple in the Christian Gospels to express disbelief or doubt at the reports of the resurrection. Peter and John both had to see the empty tomb for themselves. Rather than rely on the word of women, they called hysterical. There's a feminist alert. To label Thomas as a doubter does not fit who he is. Thomas doesn't ever act like a disbeliever. He acts like he is hurt. He acts like a wounded friend trying to figure out why Jesus came to all the other disciples while he was not there. Thomas is mourning. He's in grief. Earlier in John's gospel, in John chapter 11, to be exact, Mary and Martha sent a message to Jesus. Lazarus was dead. Jesus didn't make it there on time. Remember, the message was sent hoping he would get there. He gets the message, and the other disciples say, oh, no, Jesus, you're not going back, because remember, those people wanted to kill you, and they might have wanted to kill us, and we're not going. No, not having danger. Thomas is the only disciple with the courage to follow Jesus, not Peter the Rock, not John the Beloved, not the Sons of Thunder, not Simon the Zealot. Thomas was the disciple who told these other disciples, we all need to go. We need to go to Bethany. It's Lazarus. It's Mary and Martha calling us. In fact, we need to go die with Jesus, if that happens. The last time they were there. Of course, they had been threatened with death. But Thomas said, "Let us go with Jesus so that we may die with him." In all of the Gospels, this is the only moment when one of the disciples, faced with this possibility, affirms Jesus' inevitable death. It is Thomas. The other disciples acted like us in those moments in our lives when we put our hands over our ears and say, "I don't hear anything you are saying." But not Thomas. Those words, "I am not afraid to die with you," those are not the words of a doubter. Those are not the words of a believer. They're the words of a follower of Jesus. Thomas was a man resolved to die with Jesus, if that's what following Jesus meant. Courageous, tenacious, truthful, faithful Thomas. Those would be descriptors of him. We know that Thomas wanted to believe that the disciples had seen Jesus. We know because he waited in the darkness of his own disbelief, of his own unbelief, for the ghost of God to reappear and breathe on him too. This took courage. He waited. The fact that Thomas waits while disbelieving is the very definition of faithfulness. In fact, it is the definition of faith. He had the courage to wait 8 days. He waited. He kept waiting. Thomas the brave waited. Thomas, the father of our faith, waited. Malcolm Gweed has written these words about St. Thomas to help all of us rid him of the sobriquet Doubting Thomas. It is a sonnet for St. Thomas. "Lord, we do not know. How can we know the way?" Thomas, courageous master of the awkward question, "You spoke the words the others dared not say. You cut through their evasion and abstraction." Oh, Doubting Thomas, father of my faith, you put your finger in the nub of things. We cannot love a disembodied wraith, but flesh and blood must be our King of Kings. Your teaching us is to touch, embrace, anoint, feel after him, and find him in the flesh. Because he loved your awkward counterpoint, Thomas, the word has heard and granted you your wish. Oh, place my hands with yours. Help me divine the wounded and whose wounds are healing mine. Oh, place my hands with yours. Help me divine the wounded God whose wounds are healing mine. Thomas waited. We know Thomas didn't believe the disciples. We know the disciples didn't believe Mary. That means Thomas acted no differently than they did. The word doubt occurs nowhere in verses 24 to 29 in the 20th chapter of John. It is nowhere in the Greek. This story does not focus on doubt and skepticism, but it does focus on moving us all from unbelief to belief. This is a hope and promise story. It is a hope and promise story for each one of us. It is ours. It is our hope and promise story. Jesus appeared to Thomas. Jesus not only came back to that room where the disciples were still gathered, he came back and spoke directly to Thomas. Thomas was not censured. Thomas was not rebuked. Thomas was invited by the Lord to touch him. Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand, your whole hand, and put it in my side. Right there, that gaping wound, put it there. Thomas brings us the response that is the high point of the Gospel of John's Christological confessions. We know what he said. My Lord and my God. He sees God fully revealed in Jesus. His statement connects us from John 20, 28, all the way back to John 1, 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Yes, that was Thomas. My Lord and my God. Jesus, my brother, God incarnate, Emmanuel, God with us. Thomas connects his experience to us. And because Thomas persisted in this place of darkness, because Thomas waited for Jesus, because Thomas had courage, he was there in that room with the disciples when Jesus reappeared and Jesus came to him. This is a story of hope and promise. It stands as a promise to later generations, to us, that we will experience the grace of God in Jesus. The revelation of God in Jesus makes Jesus the center of this story. Jesus gave Thomas a palpable offer of grace. Put your hand, your whole hand, in my side. Go ahead, Thomas. Do it. Do not be unbelieving, but believe this is me. Jesus. Thomas, this is me, Jesus. Believe that I told you you would see me again. There it is. The palpable offer of grace, and it is there for each of us today. No matter the place of darkness we may be facing, no matter, even though it seems like we've been waiting a lifetime, even as we wait in this room here at Holy Trinity with fellow disciples of Christ. There it is. There is no doubting Thomas. But there is grace and the radical witness to prevailing from death and prevailing freedom for communion and engagement between God and all of humankind forever and ever. Amen.